Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever precious and the worthy name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus. We welcome you once again to the broadcast of the precious Word of God. By the help and the grace of God, we would like to turn to the second Psalm, Psalm chapter 2, where through the authorship of David, without question of doubt, we have one of the greatest prophecies relative to the coming again and the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ in the day of his messianic monarchy. We would like to read the psalm through. Tis a very brief one of 12 verses only. Why do the heathen or the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen or the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed or happy are all they that put their trust in him. May God by his Holy Spirit bless the reading and the hearing and the ministry of this precious portion from the Word of God. One of those blessed messianic psalms, for within the book of Psalms there are many that relate particularly to the Messiah's reign, when over all the earth the Messiah of Israel, even our blessed Savior the Lord Jesus Christ, will be reigning from shore to shore. Our psalm to which we have referred and which we have read gives to us the authorship of it being from David himself. Not only does David particularly is mentioned, but even in the fourth chapter of the book of the Acts, we have the Apostle Peter making reference to the words of David within this psalm. And then we can say the psalm was probably written by David in view of Solomon's accession to the throne, when the nations under David had been subdued. Yes, they undoubtedly were threatening to revolt, and even when domestic troubles began within Israel as a nation. But prophetically, this is a messianic psalm. It relates particularly to the end of the Gentile age and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he shall come as the King of kings and the Lord of lords and set up upon the earth this messianic monarchy under his people Israel. May I point out very simply, and you can follow it carefully yourself and see it, and we shall elaborate upon it, that there are four divisions to this psalm. 12 verses, and each 3 verses are separate divisions with a particular message within that section implied. First of all, let me suggest in verses 1 through 3, we can hear the voice of the nations. We have the word heathen, but may I be reminded with you, the word heathen in the Old Testament always referred to the nations apart from Israel, the Gentile nations. And within verses 1 through 3, we can recognize the loud voice of the nations. Then when you come to verses 4, 5, and 6, we can recognize another voice. It will be the voice of God the Father, as we read concerning his reaction to the voice of the nations. Then as we come to verses 7, 8, and 9, the third section of the chapter, we may recognize clearly the voice of God the Son, for he is mentioned as being the Son of God. Then when we come to the closing section, verses 10 through 12, there is without evident doubt the voice of God the Holy Spirit. My beloved, may I point out again this simple outline, but profound. First, the voice of the nations, followed by the voice of God the Father, followed by the voice of God the Son, concluded by the voice of God the Holy Spirit. What a tremendous body of truth this implies. Not only the voice of the nations in the world, but even the voice of God the Father, that blessed person of the great Trinity, and the one who is co-equal and co-eternal with him, the voice of God the Son. But not alone that, the voice of that same blessed Holy Spirit, co-equal and co-eternal in the great Godhead, his voice is heard at the latter part. May I point out with you as we go to verses 1 through 3, what we hear from the voice of the nations. May I read the words again? 1, 2, and 3. Why do the nations rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, Jehovah, and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. May I very pointedly emphasize, by the Spirit of God's revelation here, the first verse reveals to us the worldwide agitation preceding the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ in power and glory. Worldwide agitation. Please note the expression in the opening words. Why do the nations rage? In other words, outwardly, they are in a condition of tumult. They are in a condition of chaos. They are in a condition of great unrest. My beloved, do I need, should I really need to emphasize this condition prevails today? Worldwide agitation among the nations, outwardly in tumult, outwardly chaotic, and striving one against the other as well as internally again and again. My beloved, do not these words really, clearly present to us the present situation of the nations today? Outwardly in agitation, from one end of the earth to the other, from the North Pole to the South, East and West, all the nations in a tumult and in a state of unrest. But that's not only the condition outwardly. There is also another condition that exists inwardly. For we read in the same verse, number one, why do the people imagine a vain thing? Inwardly we find they not only have outwardly a worldwide agitation, but inwardly there seems to be a worldwide imagination within the minds of all the nations of the world. Vain thoughts, meaning impossible thoughts. We shall see more about that. But just think of what the Spirit of God is writing. The people are imagining, worldwide imagination, vain things. You may ask, what is it that they are imagining? Well, beloved, as you listen to the voice of politicians, to the voice of statesmen, and those that are in the leadership of nations today, are they not all seeking to grasp for the authority of the earth for themselves? And are they not also, some of them, seeking to make a peace that will be lasting amongst the nations of the earth? Oh, please let me state from the authority of God's word, 'tis a vain imagination. The prophet Isaiah wrote very faithfully, and by divine inspiration, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The wicked are like the restless sea which cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace to the wicked. My beloved, all the vain thoughts that the nations have for their future, for their glory, and for their great achievements ahead, please can I say they'll come to naught. And until the Prince of Peace comes back to the earth to reign himself, these vain worldwide imaginations will continue. May I repeat it again? Just let me close in our moments to the left regarding this particular emphasis we have made, not all of it yet, but from verse 1, particularly alone, the voice of the nations raging in worldwide agitation, outwardly in a state of chaos, tumult, and unrest. My beloved friend, don't you see it? Is it not visible today? And then inwardly, their inward thoughts, vain in their worldwide imagination. There is no question of doubt. Many nations are seeking to be the priority amongst all the other nations in supremacy. 'Tis a vain thing. Oh, you and I are seeing it. And as you watch it, and as you and I observe it, please let us realize, long ago by divine inspiration, the prophet David wrote concerning this worldwide agitation and worldwide imagination. May God bless the hearing of his word and enlighten our hearts and minds. Surely the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved and blessed Father, we bless thee for thy blessed word, telling the future just as clearly as if it were telling the past. And we pray that this messianic prophecy will be blessed to the hearts of the hearers, to their thy blessing and thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.